Welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada, the host city of NAB 2014. We're here on the 45th floor of the Trump International Hotel. This is Cinema 5D on the Couch, presented by B&H, the professional's source, Vitech Videocom, Tools on Air, and Zeiss.
Welcome to the first show of Cinema 5D on the Couch, our new talk show format. We're here in Las Vegas at NAB 2014, and over the next couple of days, we will host a number of well-known manufacturers, bloggers, and other filmmakers to have a relaxed, laid-back interview in our hotel, the Trump Hotel. Unfortunately, our friend Johnny Behiri can't be here this time, but he will be supporting us from our headquarters office in Vienna. But today I'm here with our news team, our NAB news team, Cinema 5D founder Sebastian Wilber and our beloved writer Tim Fock from England. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi.
Sebastian, you've been to a lot of NABs with me over the past few years. Is there anything special this year? Is there any trend you can already make out? Or is it too early to say one day before the show starts?
Well, you know what I noticed over the last weeks, there was a lot of teasing being done by accessories manufacturers, a lot of new products being announced prior to NAB, and I didn't see that the other years, and I think that's because there are a lot of very interesting and relevant and innovative products coming from the manufacturers, from the accessories manufacturers. I think that's basically actually due to the fact that it's easier to make out where the trend is going.
So where is it going? Year.
Well, you know, over the last years, last year especially, nobody really knew where cameras manufacturers were going. There was 4K, which was really big, but there was no standard in television or cinema yet for 4K. 3D was suddenly gone, you know. 3D was so big 2 years ago.
Well, they tried to make it big, but nobody caught on.
So, it seems like this trend has faded.
Do you think 4K will be the new 3D, or will it be? Will it remain a trend?
No, I think 4K really has relevance and importance, and a lot of stuff that is shot for 2K and for HD is more and more being acquired on 4K, and I think it makes total sense. All the editing system, everything is really more and more being laid out for 4K, and it's just an additional resolution, that additional safety you have when you have the big resolution.
So we see the whole pipeline catching on. It's not
exactly
only the cameras anymore. It's also the editing software. It's all the hardware necessary for pre-production as well and post-production.
Yeah,
that's catching on. It's true.
Yeah, and you know, I think. More and more tools are required also in terms of cameras. It's rather than focusing on one thing only, like is the DSLR dead again? Is everything going back to video cameras? I think it's really each camera segment has its own right.
Yeah.
And DSLRs are still the entry-level tools for making beautiful large sensor video.
Yeah, and I think also the market is growing. I mean, the market is just getting bigger, and also budgets. I noticed from my own work that budgets are shifting to the internet. You know, you see TV getting somehow, it's turning around. It's going, you know, there's high-end TV with super 35 millimeter stuff being shot for broadcast. And on the other hand, you see normal budgets going down and going up for commercial stuff on the web. And I think that's why a lot of cameras for a lot of purposes are relevant now.
Yeah, exactly. And also, 3 years ago, we saw the whole NAB full of camera rigs for DSLRs. The accessory manufacturers tried to create rigs very specific for these DSLR to make them feasible.
Mm.
And you know, now it seems that these manufacturers can really concentrate on making good accessories to make really to make the whole production process more ergonomic.
So it's more about versatility now with a lot of different cameras, right?
Yeah, I think it's more about versatility and also about really creating relevant, innovative gear that helps us as filmmakers, no matter which body we're putting behind the lens, to really get the best out of these camera bodies.
Yeah. So Tim, where do you see out of these pre-announcements? I mean, it's your first time at NAB, but you know the industry well. Out of these pre-announcements, is there anything that caught your interest?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, I mean, like what Sebastian was saying, there's going to be a big 4K presence, and I think not just with cameras. I think it's going to be kind of across the board with pre-production, with post-production, with data wrangling, particularly for kind of dealing with it in post and monitoring it as well. But I, as from a camera operating perspective, you know, that's kind of my trade. I'm naturally quite interested in kind of the accessories. And I think Zacuto offer quite a few interesting ones that we've seen that they've kind of leaked out 2 weeks prior to NAB. I quite like the look of that Graticon EVF, which is quite nice. It's a micro OLED viewfinder, I think, which is compatible through HDMI and SDI, which I think is nice, and it loops through and it can convert, which is great. And I like the fact that it looks like it has, well, they said that it has a full 3D screen, which will enable you to have the histograms and the overlays, which don't impede on the actual vision of the 69 image. I think that's a nice little touch.
Yeah.
There was also, I think we're expecting quite a nice few announcements from Vitek, which might be quite exciting too. Another one that we'll probably be quite expecting to see is quite a lot of stabilizing devices. I think through IBC and BVE, we saw quite a few prototype Movi style stabilizers. So I think NAB is probably going to be a good platform for them consolidating that information a bit more and potentially seeing a few more roll out of production rather than them being in the pre-production state.
Yeah, the Movi was announced exactly 1 year ago at NAB with a big film by Vincent Laferre. And there was a huge excitement about it. And at IBC in Amsterdam in September, which is the other big broadcast show in Europe, we saw tons of clones. So
yeah.
I think America still has to be exposed to these tons of clones. This will be the time, I guess. And there will be even more than at IBC, I guess.
Yeah, and it's still quite exciting, I think, because we still haven't seen a lot of footage from either of these kind of similar gyro stabilizer products. We're still yet to see a good flow of material, which is actually being produced, you know, by these. So from my perspective, I guess a lot of other operators as well, there's still not that, you know, the Movi seems to be quite well documented now. There's other stabilizers which are out there, but no one's really documented their, you know, their performance properly. So it'd be nice to see that kind of reeling out hopefully later.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they work now, because at IBC I tried a couple of the clones and I wasn't really too excited about them. But you saw that FreeFlight just had, you know, they were just developing this for a much longer time, and you could see that they put a lot more work into their software and everything as well. That's also why I decided to buy the Movi. And we're probably also going to have Tab from FreeFly here. He already confirmed that he will be coming to one of the shows, as well as Zacuto with a new product. So that should be quite exciting.
I also imagine that the gimbal technology, you know, after the Movi can bring so much more as well. I think there can be some interesting new products.
True. I mean,
from that side as well.
I always wondered about why all the clone or most of these Movi clones use the exact same form factor.
Yeah.
Why don't they just come up with something else?
Make something which is a bit more ergonomically friendly to use. I mean, the Shadow Cam, for example, we saw that.
The shoulder rig.
The prototype at BV, which is effectively the shoulder-mounted version with a gyro on the front. I thought it was quite nice. I like the way it packed down as well, quite concisely. That was nice for transportation. But it'd be nice to see products which are a bit more intuitively designed like that, which support this gyro system. I think that'd be good as well. And another place where the gyro stabilizing comes into hand as well is aerial photography. We've seen a lot more of that the last kind of year as well.
Absolutely.
So it'd be interesting to see how much of a factor that plays this year.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think last year was the big trend we saw at NAB and IBC as well was moving a camera.
Mm.
Like moving a camera in all kinds of ways, through a gyrocopter or gimbal stabilizers and even a lot of new cranes and stuff. So I wonder if there is anything, well, when we sit here in 4 days or so, if we can see something that, you know, where we say, okay, the overall trend is...
Yeah.
Movie, is it motion again? Is it What is it? You know, is it just an enhancement of anything?
Yeah.
I can't think of anything specific yet, but we will see.
I've noticed quite a few, rather than linear sliders, but ones which can actually move on an arc. We saw the parallax, which was brought out by Kassler, announced I think maybe a year ago. But we've also had a Velcro respond with their electronic version. And not a few days earlier, I saw a Kickstarter as well with an actual curved track, which basically did the same thing. So it might be quite interesting to see how many of these we start to see popping up now. Because I think it's also, the slider's been around for so long now that it's almost, you almost get tired of seeing it in a production. So it's kind of, where can you take that? You know, it's a good tool to have because it's portable, it's affordable now, and you know, you can move it around quickly, you can operate it quite quickly. So it's kind of perfecting that system. You know, what can we do to make it a bit more exciting? I think this kind of arc action is starting to play a bit more of a presence as well. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out.
So 4K is becoming mainstream now. Any news on that front?
Yeah, no, it's really interesting to see that last year 4K was really still in the pro segment, and now it's all moving to the consumer market as well with the Panasonic GH4. And now Sony presenting the A7S. Everything seems to be moving towards 4K, and it's interesting to see that. And it's interesting to see that it's all getting smaller again. And of course, with all the motion innovation we're seeing, all the 4K is getting so much more space.
I think going on that form factor is quite interesting as well, because if you look at both Panasonic and Sony, companies which don't have a good pedigree in making pro DSLRs, that they've approached it from a mirrorless point of view, so that their flagship stills cameras, which shoot video, are the mirrorless type. Whereas you have a look at kind of Canon and Nikon, where they have a bit more of a pedigree for DSLR bodies, they're still kind of pushing the DSLRs as their professional line. So it's quite interesting to see that kind of, where is, you know, what will Canon respond with? Will they, you know, explore the mirrorless line further? Will they, you know, when they bring 4K down through the ranks into their, you know, their stills cameras more so than the 1DC, where is it going to come? Is it going to come into a DSLR body, or is it going to come into a mirrorless body? And it's quite interesting that Canon have just dropped the price of the 1DC, which might be kind of making room for a new announcement, or it might just be trying to make themselves more competitive with Panasonic and Sony. So, it'd be interesting to see where they bring 4K into their lineup.
The funny thing is for me that it took Sony such a long time to finally realize that their box form factor of the cameras that they always had, which really stems from mechanical cameras, is not ideal for anyone. And not for everyone, I mean. It is ideal for some people, for people who come from the broadcast sector and who used to shoulder mount cameras. But all the people who fell in love with DSLRs and these small form factors have always had trouble working with Sony cameras.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it looks like the A7S is really addressing that problem.
Yeah.
And I think this is also one of the reasons why the Canon C300 is so super successful, because it's relatively small and it has all the professional features that you need from a camera that needs to work in broadcast. And Sony didn't really have anything in this field, because the F3, F5, F55, all great cameras, technically very often better with the quality of the image that they put out with 10-bit or even 12-bit. It depends on how you record externally. But internal, you know, you on the F5, F55, 10-bit. Problem is the form factor sometimes, you know, you just end up having a really, really long rig.
I think there's a big market for form factor. I think it should be a big consideration. I think it is, particularly from my perspective on the stuff which I shoot. Form factor is a big consideration for operating a camera. And I think spec sheet is obviously a massive deal, but it's the form factor is an equally important part as well. And it's why I myself am a C100 user rather than an FS100 user.
And the FS700, sorry.
The problem is that the spec sheet is usually a better sales argument.
Yes.
And true. I think that's why the manufacturers are really focusing on that.
Yeah.
And Sony always has been a very engineer-driven company. Yeah. I mean, they really are about technical perfection, but sometimes the ergonomics suffer from that because they only focus on that. And I think the worst example was their FS700 4K rig, which ended up like a, it's like a cannon, a bazooka, another cannon camera, but like like a gun, like a bazooka. It's like, it's crazy how big this rig is. It's unusable. I think Philip Bloom just did a test where he used the Odyssey recorder, the 4K recorder, instead of the Sony one. And the Odyssey from Convergent Design is a cheaper way of recording 4K, and it's a better way because it's a great monitor as well.
Exactly,
and you don't have a monitor with the Sony solution, the Sony add-on to the FS700. So you end up having a much, much, much smaller and better rig for much less money if you use the Convergent solution. Yeah. But that's a typical example of how Sony needs to really learn in that field. Hopefully the A7S is a step in the right direction. I just hope that they're professional and consumer divisions, which used to be strictly separated, like with Canon, you know, before the C300. I hope that they really try to integrate that better in the future.
And I guess at the same regards, it'd be nice to see Canon kind of stepping it up a bit more in terms of the spec sheet, because it's almost like they're kind of being left behind a little bit there.
Well, where's the slow motion on all the Canon cameras? Yeah, you know, slow motion is still bad.
Waiting for that slow motion camera. Canon.
Yeah, well, I was actually...
I'm sure it's coming. Question is, when is it coming?
Well, kind of stated that they want to apply the kind of paid upgrades for their EOS cameras to kind of add a longevity to their line. So, I mean, hopefully we might see that as a paid upgrade, but, you know, this is... Yeah.
Well, they just announced a paid upgrade for the constant autofocus on the C300, which the C100 already got. So I don't expect them to announce anything at NAB, but we will see.
Technically, it seems like an autofocus feature is easier to implement firmware-wise than slow motion, because slow motion...
Probably. So let's just go through the shows that we have lined up over the next few days. Some of them are not confirmed yet, but we will just go through the confirmed ones. Tomorrow, the first show we will be recording is with Philip Bloom, some new unknown filmmaker, and Ryan Koo and Joe Marine from No Film School. That's obviously some of the top bloggers, and I'm really looking forward to talking to them as well about trends. And tomorrow we might be able to talk a little bit more in detail about, you know, what is really being announced at NAB. We are really happy about having some amazing sponsors for this show. Without them, it would not be possible to make this happen. One of them is Zeiss, the lens manufacturer, and they will be having their own show recorded this week as well. And some of the topics we'll be talking about with Barry Anderson, Michael Sheelan, and Dr. Aurelian Dodok, who is really the guy you want to talk to about Zeiss lenses, because he knows everything about them, because he designs them. And we'll talk about their compact primes, their compact zoom lenses, and anamorphic lenses. There's a lot of misconception about anamorphics after J.J. Abrams, with, you know, everybody thinks there must be lens flares in every shot, but that's not what anamorphics are all about, and a lot of people don't know what anamorphics actually do. We'll talk about all these topics with them. After that, on Tuesday, we will have Canon and Blackmagic Design, for one show. We tested the Blackmagic 4K. You specifically tested it. And I think you had some issues with it, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, the major issue with the camera, aside from the quality control aspect, where some users saw dead pixels on their cameras, and we did as well, was, of course, the low light performance of the camera. We found that, you know, basically it's really hard to use it indoors, which makes it, for especially for indie productions, not such a good choice maybe.
So we'll talk about this with Blackmagic on Tuesday.
Yeah, that will be interesting. Yeah. I mean, the camera is still, you know, offers the 4K resolution. It offers a really nice picture for a production environment. So for controlled environments, it's really good value. I mean, how much is it now? It's, I think, $3,000.
It's very cheap, yeah.
And probably it will drop again as these cameras drop every year. And let's see what the next Blackmagic camera brings. I'm sure there'll be another one soon.
We'll also have Canon in the same show. And there were a few new announcements from Canon. Not camera specific, but a very exciting new lens for a super 35mm.
Yeah,
I think
great.
17 to 120
yeah.
millimeters. Mm. Yeah. For me, this is really the perfect documentary zoom lens that I always wished for. And finally, there is one, and it actually will have a zoom rocker.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that I want to know from Canon is, why do you put in a zoom rocker but not the control for it? Because this zoom rocker needs to be powered somehow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canon cameras don't have a way of powering it, but the Sony cameras do.
Yeah.
So it looks like the PL version of that Canon lens will work better on the F5,
yes.
F55 than it will work on Canon cameras,
it
which is kind of ironic.
They brought out the EF mount version, but you can't use that with an EF
yeah.
because they've got the cameras which have the EF mount, but yeah, none of them have the connection to actually
you can't get the power.
It.
Yeah, so this is something I want to know from them on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And what
nice.
Else did Canon announce?
Would be nice if
they brought out the two small chip cameras, the replacements to the 105 and the 100, I think it was. So the XF 205 and the 200. So they'll probably have those at their stand, yeah.
So we really see really good codecs in these small broadcast cameras, small chip broadcast cameras now. Because everybody's moving to bigger sensors, they need to offer something for these cameras, I think. But you know, we're really interested in larger sensors, so I hope that Canon will be bringing out something in that field, but it doesn't look like it. Well, we'll find out.
And we hope we still get hold of someone from Sony.
Yeah, we still hope that we get hold of someone from Sony as well to talk about the A7S in person to us. They are obviously very busy, but we might be able to. At least we will have Sebastian will be doing the coverage from the show floor, so we will continue to do the small videos we always did from the show floor about individual products, and Sebastian will be covering the A7S on the floor.
I'll walk a few hundred miles there again.
Yeah. And I'll be sitting here. We'll be just sitting here and relaxing.
You'll have it. You'll have a relaxing time.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Well, anyway, we'll try to get them for the show as well. So the next show we have is on Wednesday. That is a user-based show. The overall theme will be financing products and projects via Kickstarter and Indiegogo and other crowdfunding platforms. And actually, we'll have the producers and directors of a new documentary here about David Hasselhoff. Yeah, everybody's laughing when he hears his name. But we will hear more.
Is he Austrian?
He's.
Can you get him
because of the name. The name is actually German.
Make a phone call.
Yeah.
Get him in.
But they will be here and we will be premiering a trailer for that production. And I'm quite excited about that because I was one of the camera operators on it. And it was a very, very fun shoot last year. And then we'll also have Justin Jensen from Cinetics on the show. He had the very successful Kickstarter project Axis 360 last year on Kickstarter. And we'll talk to him about what it takes to finance a product successfully on Kickstarter. So then we also have a show with Sakuto on Wednesday. It's being recorded. We'll have Steve Weiss and Jens Bogenhagen, the owners and CEOs of Sakuto. And also my good friend Rodney Charters, who is also a good friend of Sakuto, will be here. He's the director of photography of 24, Shameless, and Dallas, and he really knows his stuff. He doesn't need to impress anyone, and he usually, you know, tells people what he thinks about their product. So I'm really excited about talking with him about the news at NAB. We'll also have our dear sponsor, Vitek Videocom, on one of the shows, and they will announce a couple of new products under their Sachtler brand, which is best known for their tripods, but it won't be a tripod. So that's all I can say. It will be something in the camera support range. We'll see about that when they are here. I'm also really excited about having B&H on the show. And specifically, it's Gabriel Biederman, a guy who has been with B&H for a very long time. And they are our lead sponsor on this show. And not only as a sponsor, but as a supporter, because they really provided all the equipment we use here. And without them, this show literally would not be happening. I'm very excited about having him here because as the main and biggest, largest camera retailer in North America, they should know where the trends really go because they know exactly how much they sell of which product.
Yeah.
And also, we'll talk a little bit about the background of B&H, how they became who they are now and their philosophy, because they support the industry a lot with their workshops and presentations, and we'll hear more about them. Then we'll have another show with filmmakers and their view on the market and where everything is headed, and more specifically with the Bui brothers and Jan Wolitz and Christoph Dertschel from Wienerland. That's a new series that's going to be shot in Austria, and it's from the suspense genre, I would say, but it's really, really fantasy-like, so kind of looks like Lord of the Rings, very, very high production value. And these four people will talk about crowdfunding again, and also, does shooting in 4K make sense? Because the four of them have very, very different positions on that topic. That will be interesting to hear. And it's also about financing indie films in this day and age, because it's getting more and more difficult to finance films and find money for your indie projects. With budgets dwindling, it's just getting harder. So where do we get the money from? Is crowdfunding really the way to go? Or like the Bui brothers say, how do you get somebody who is well off to finance your indie project? So it's very interesting to hear from them, because they have a lot of experience in that field. So that's quite exciting. We have a few shows lined up, as you heard. There might be a few more added, but that's it for now. And yeah, good luck on the show floor over the next few days, Sebastian. Thank you. And if there is anything new coming up, we will be covering it. Thanks for watching, and thanks to our sponsors, B&H, Zeiss, Vitec Videocom, and Tools on Air. Thank you for watching, and see you tomorrow.